It's obvious to us when we come into the chapel that something is different. Here we are deep into the season of Lent. Tomorrow's the fifth Sunday already. And yet, we come in here and there's no sign of any violet penitential spirit. Everything's white, flowers. And then we sang the Gloria. We don't sing the Gloria during Lent. What's going on here? We're celebrating a joyful, a glorious feast, the Annunciation of the Lord. So we take a little break from the penitential, more somber spirit of Lent, and we celebrate the beginnings. In fact, it's a beautiful thing to think about, because 2 weeks from today, it'd be Holy Saturday. Jesus will be in the tomb. It's the end of his life. But today, we celebrate the beginning of his life. Not his birth, but his conception. Extraordinary moment. Now, to reflect on this extraordinary moment of the Annunciation and what really happened, I'd like to compare it to a news item that caught my eye yesterday. Maybe you saw it. It was a big headline. Woman with no ovaries gives birth to identical twins. Did you see that in the news? Yesterday. Woman with no ovaries gave birth to identical twins. It's a true miracle. That's exactly what the headline said. It's a true miracle. Well, I'm in the business of true miracles, so I said, I'm going to read this article, find out what's this true miracle, because it sounds like a woman without the capacity for reproduction has given birth. That would be a miracle. Mary, on the other hand, we know that she has the capacity for reproduction. The miracle is that there's no male side to the picture. You know, Joseph is not the father. So I said, oh, maybe what's going on here? What's the miracle? So I looked up the article. Woman in the States, she some years back had a severe form of cancer. She had to have her ovaries removed, surgically removed. But before that operation, it says in the article, she had 8 of her embryos frozen. And then last year, she decided to get pregnant, so she pulled some out of the freezer, and then after a few tries, she developed, she was pregnant, I guess, and then she had these two beautiful babies, identical twins, and that's the miracle. Now, of course, the article skips over that those 8 embryos were not her 8 embryos. Those start out as her eggs from her ovaries, probably because the medical science here is that they stimulate the ovaries to produce as many eggs as they can possibly get. They harvest eggs, and then they put them in the lab, and then presumably they use the sperm of her husband to fertilize as many eggs as they can. And those are embryos. That's the beginning of human life. And then they put them in the freezer. Who knows how many they put in the freezer, but they said there were 8. So those are her children. Those are her children in the freezer 3 years ago. And then when she decides it's time for her to bear children, she pulls out, I think it says she tried several times before she was successful to bring the children to term. Now, again, presumably, she still has children in the freezer. And I hope when she can bear more children, she could take some more out and try, because what are you going to do with those children in the freezer? But the point is, this isn't a true miracle at all. Human life is a miracle. The birth of identical twins is a miracle. That's a great cause of joy, so that's for sure. Every birth is a miracle. Every human life, every conception is a miracle. And that's the gift of God. But this is not a true miracle because it's scientifically explainable. In fact, it's a result of scientific intervention in human reproduction. It's artificial reproduction. That's the whole thing. So you can call it a miracle if you want to. It's a miracle of advancement of medical technology. But it's not a true miracle that defies or goes outside of any scientific explanation. A true miracle is something we can't explain scientifically. And that's what we're celebrating today. Something that we can't explain scientifically. What happened? Well, let's look at the calendar. 9 months from today, Christmas Day, the birth of our Savior, the birth of the Word made flesh. Well, we know pregnancy is 9 months. So if the Word made flesh is born on December 25, well, then we can go back 9 months and figure out, well, that must have been the beginning of his life, because that's the way human life is from conception to birth, about 9 months. Well, that's today, 9 months. Conception of the Word made flesh. In fact, when the Word became flesh, today. Now we know, because it's been revealed to us, that the reason why the Word became flesh, why God took on human nature, is for our salvation. He could have just appeared. He could have done what he did in the beginning when he created the first man. He could have taken soil, formed the clay of the ground, and then blown into it and turned it into a living human person, a new Adam. But he didn't do that. He decided to use human agents as part of the unfolding of his mystery. And this is part of what we celebrate. God, who can do everything and on whom everything depends, decides to not do everything, and he decides to depend on us, or at least subject himself to our free choices. So, he decides he wants to come into the world through a woman. He prepares the way. We know the story of the Immaculate Conception. He chooses a man to be her husband. We celebrated Saint Joseph on Monday. So by the time we get to this story, this gospel I just read, we've got the angel Gabriel going from God. Here's another intermediary, Gabriel. Why God doesn't do it himself? Because he likes involving people. He likes involving angels. He likes involving human beings. He sends the angel, Gabriel, to a little town in Galilee called Nazareth, which is where Mary lived and where Joseph lived, to a virgin betrothed to a man named Joseph. So there's Mary in her betrothed state. She has a husband, but they don't live together. Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. When the angel comes to her, he says, not Hail Mary, he says, Hail full of grace, as if her name is full of grace, highly favored one. That's how he greets her. The Lord is with you. So this is an intervention. This is a revelation that God's plan has come to the threshold. A new beginning is possible here. Now, she was prepared ahead of time. She's full of grace. It's possible for her to conceive a sinless child, because she herself is sinless. But she doesn't have a husband. I mean, she doesn't have any relations with a husband. And so when the angel says, you're going to bear a son, you're going to name him Jesus, and this son is going to be great. He's going to be the Son of the Most High. He's going to take on the throne of David. He's going to reign forever. He's going to fulfill all the prophecies that you've ever heard of. Well, Mary's first question is, well, how can I conceive? How can I conceive without a man? I have no relations with a man. She knows her biology. She knows the difference between what is scientifically explainable and what is a true miracle. And she says, well, how is this going to be? Scientifically explainable or a true miracle? And the angel says it's going to be a true miracle. A true miracle by the power of the Holy Spirit. By the power of the Holy Spirit, you'll conceive. And that's why this child will be called holy, the Son of God. This embryo. No, before, there's no embryo yet. Mary is given this announcement, this annunciation. And now it's up to her to give a response. This is part of the marvel. And it's something that is just mind-boggling, that God who has this extraordinary plan in mind for all, from all eternity, to send his son for the word to become flesh and to save the human race, that he subjects this plan to this young woman in Nazareth. Who is she? Why does she have this place? Why does any of us have a place? Why does God subject himself to any of our free decisions? This is how God does things. He's a very humble God. He takes extraordinary risks. We don't have to say yes. We could say no. Mary didn't have to say yes. She could have said no. If she couldn't have said no, she can't be a free person. This is part of freedom. And God, in creating free persons, takes the risk that we might misuse our freedom. But the beautiful thing in this story, of course, Mary never misused her freedom. She never said no to God. She had always said yes to him, even before this moment. But now, when this extraordinary announcement is made, and she checks it out a little bit, well, what are you really talking about here? Once she gets the picture that this is really the will of God, then she says yes. Not, I'm going to do a great thing, but I am your servant. Behold, I'm the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done to me according to your word. I'm going to make my will completely subjected to your will. I'm saying yes to what you are saying yes to. I'm agreeing with you. Let your will be done. That's the perfect response. That's what we celebrate. Now, that's after that happens, then she conceives. That's why we're celebrating, yes, the Annunciation, the arrival of the angel, the great announcement, Mary's response, and the fruit of that response, which is her conceiving Jesus. March 25th, 9 months before Christmas. When she says, let it be done to me according to your word, it was done according to his word. It was done. And then she had an embryo. Well, I think what's the first thing? Zygote. Zygote? I always forget this. Stages of human life, zygote is first, right? No. Anyway, whatever it is. That's where Jesus' life begins. He starts out as a zygote, then he's an embryo, then he's a fetus. I don't know what the stage between fetus and what's the next thing, a baby? The doctors have terms for the stages of human life. And Jesus passed through all of them, from conception to birth to death and then resurrection. We'll see that in 2 weeks. Okay, so what we're celebrating today is the kind of chain reaction that was unleashed by Mary's yes to the announcement. It's something to celebrate, but it's also a lesson to us about the power of our will in our response to the will of God. God does not force his will on anybody, on Mary, on us, on anybody. He does a lot of things that we have no choice about, yes. But when it comes to moral decisions, he waits for our response. He wants us to cooperate. That's the only way love can work. Because if he forces us, well then, we're not free. And if we're not free, we can't love. And if we can't love, how can we participate in God? God is all love. So he gives us the opportunity to love, to say yes to him, and then he waits for us to do it. In Lent, we're really working to be purified of all the interferences to our yes to God. We're asking God to open the eyes of our hearts, to set us free from all the baggage of sin. That's why we go to confession in Lent. That's why we do penance in Lent. We're trying to free ourselves from all this interference. But the goal is not simply to do penance. The goal is union with God, to say a yes to God and let God be in charge. Let God give us new life. So that's what we learn from Mary and her response to the angel. That's what we learn from pondering the ways of God revealed in this a moment of the Annunciation.